good afternoon to you, Namibia, and to all our faithful listeners tuning in from every corner of the country and beyond. Thank you for joining us on Eagle FM, the station where conversations count. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and you are listening to On the Reading News Analysis, your weekday deep dive into the stories shaping Namibia's economic, social, and governance landscape. It's Friday, the 14th of November, 2025, and as we wrap up the week, we continue to unpack the developments influencing our nation's trajectory. Now, from the policy decisions shaping our institutions to the lived experiences unfolding in communities across Namibia, here on the Reader, we go beyond the surface of the headlines. We analyze the context, ask questions, and connect the dots, offering balanced, data-driven insights into the issues that define where we are today and where we are heading as a nation. Every weekday from 1300 hours to 1430, we bring you Namibia's most compelling conversations through expert interviews, in-depth commentary, archive audio, and of course, your voices that enrich and energize our national discourse. Because in a fast-paced information age, informed understanding is more powerful than ever. So as we bring you today's program, we will spotlight key national developments, explore their broader implications, and engage with those shaping Namibia's policy, economy, and democratic landscape. Now remember, you can catch On the Reader on all Eagle FM frequencies, Eagle FM website, and also download the Eagle FM app, or be part of the conversation on our WhatsApp channel, where we share exclusive clips, insights, and behind-the-scenes moments. Now, wherever you're tuning in from today, your office, your car, or the comfort of your home, stay engaged, stay reflective, and stay curious, because right here on the Reading News Analysis, Namibia doesn't just listen, Namibia comes to think. The Namibia Health Exhibition team has announced the much-anticipated Namibia Health Exhibition that officially kicks off today, the 14th of November 2025, and will run until tomorrow, the 15th of November. Now, the two-day event is expected to bring together healthcare professionals, policymakers, innovators, industry experts, and members of the public for a comprehensive exploration of the country's health landscape. The exhibition is showcasing a wide range of health services, technologies, and innovations aimed at strengthening Namibia's healthcare system. And attendees, of course, are looking for, can look forward to an interactive demonstration, panel discussion, expert talks, free and exhibition from both public and private health institutions. Now, speaking at the event or at the opening of the event today is one of the co-founders of the Namibia Health Exhibition, that is Nambo Amukutua. She is a pharmacist by profession. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
We always, this is our third edition of the health exhibition. And there's a reason why we always have a theme surrounding universal health coverage, right? Because it is the backbone of a healthy and equitable society. So I would use this, right? Globally, investments in primary health care have saved millions of lives. So between 2000 and 2023, it contributed to 34% reduction in maternal mortality, right? And a significant increase in life expectancy in low-income regions. So here in Namibia, progress is real. 87% of Namibians live within 10 kilometers of a health facility, and out-of-pocket health expenditures remain relatively low. But we must remain honest. The challenges are still there. There are inequities, right? Especially in our rural communities, who often have to travel 40 to 100 kilometers to reach healthcare. Only 17.5% of Namibians have health insurance, medical aid, right? And that's mostly for urban and wealthier households, while private facilities employ 60% of our healthcare workers, right? So they are only serving a fraction of the population. So these numbers are not just statistics. They represent our mothers, our fathers, our children who still face barriers to timely quality care. So imagine a scenario where there's a grandmother in Rupala, a small settlement in Kabalo West, who has lived her whole life relying on traditional healers. And the local clinic is very far, right? So in her village, she believes that, okay, once she gets sick, you know, and then she dies, it's just her fate, because she doesn't have access to a clinic, right? And because the healthcare is both distant and culturally it's unfamiliar, many people don't make that choice. That's why bringing attention, investment, and education to primary health care is very, very important. And that is precisely why this platform matters. So by bringing together policymakers, practitioners, businesses, and communities, we create solutions that reach every corner of our nation. So this began as a dream, and between me, Grace, and Paul, this Paul, this right here, yeah. And Bam has always been our expert. So I do remember the moments, right? The closed doors and the moments where people didn't take us seriously. Walking door to door while heavily pregnant and asking people to believe in something that they couldn't see. But we really did hold on to this vision. And today we see more people stepping forward to take ownership of the platform. Not because they were called, but because they do understand its purpose, the impact, and the potential of saving lives. So, we thank you to the Namibia Medical Society for continuing to be our organizers. And this year, we did bring on the Nurses Union and the Namibia Medical Laboratory Scientists Association. So we really truly honor the collaborative effort as we're organizing this event. To my team of organizers and volunteers, it's really been a year of planning. Planning takes place in January, so we only have like one more month to rest, right? And you've really just given your time, your energy, your heart, and I truly honor that because it's not easy. These are healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, pharmacists, medical laboratory scientists, and students, right? And you know, healthcare workers, students, and other professions, right? You don't really have that time, but you really need this time, right? So your reward may not be monetary, but the impact you have made, the lives you've touched, the opportunities you've created, it's really priceless. Can we give them a round of applause? Hosting and organizing such an event, it's not an easy task. So I really do appreciate their efforts. So to our sponsors, I thank you once again to the First National Bank for coming on board. Thank you for working with us. And this year, you truly came, not just you came on board, you even gave us your platform in the media, right? And not everyone gets that opportunity. I'm really appreciative from the bottom of my heart, truly sincerely. To COSFAM, Mr. Dina and the team, you always work with us. You're always. I remember in the meeting we had a couple of weeks ago, and you were like, I'm always willing to support you. Thank you so much for coming on board. Welcome. To Becca Pharma and Umbo Med, you've been with us from the beginning, and you continue working with us. Oshakati Pharmacy, Medex Pharmacy, they've also always been with us, and you continue working with us. And to Living Waters Pharmacy, thank you for coming on board this year. To our investors, right? This is the first year we're having investors, right? Landro Investment Fund and the McQueen Foundation, we really thank you for coming on board at the 10th, what's it called? The 10th hour. 11th. The 11th hour, literally, you know? We appreciate you, right? And through this exhibition, we have mentees, student mentees. They received sponsorships, right? Their school fees have been covered, and they also gained employment opportunities. So this truly, just shows that this platform is working, right? And this year, we have a sponsor who will sponsor 4 students to a health exhibition in Cape Town next year. So can we give them a round of applause? So our students will have the opportunity to go to Joburg or Cape Town, and they'll have an opportunity to experience an exhibition that time. So the exhibition has grown. We've expanded in the CPD workshops that carefully design and reflect the diversity of the healthcare fields. We started as just pharmacy thing, a doctor thing. Now we have radiology.
And for now, let's pause right here and make room for a scheduled commercial break. We'll see you right after that.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. You are still tuned into On The Reading News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Now, speaking at the Namibia Health Exhibition opening today at McHugh Hotel is the Minister of Health and Social Services, Esperance Luvindao.
10-15% of it. Everything else is usually from my own mind. She deeply regrets that she could not be here with you all today. She would have loved to be here. As you all are aware, health is something that is very close to her heart. She's very passionate about healthcare. I don't have to speak about the number of times when I contact her at various times about healthcare issues. And she's always very active and ready to get involved, ready to act because of what healthcare means to her. And so therefore, please accept her deepest apologies and regrets for not being here today, but I am dedicated to convey her thoughts, her sentiments regarding the importance of this very important occasion, mind you. And this dedication reflects not only the President's commitment to our nation's health, but her belief in collaborative effort for the critical part of driving positive change within our healthcare system. Now, with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited to be here with you all today on the occasion of the 2025 National Health Exhibition. My sincere gratitude goes out to the Pharmacists Care Association of Namibia for their foresight in establishing this very vital platform, particularly in the year 2023. The Ministry of Health and Social Services as well for its unwavering endorsement. But then to the organizers for once again extending that courtesy to the Ministry of Health and Social Services. As your patron, I'm deeply honored to witness this gathering of brilliant minds and compassionate hearts, all united by a common purpose, a noble purpose, mind you, to forge a healthier and more resilient Namibia, which is what I believe we all want. This exhibition, with its interactive displays, the CPD workshops, and the solution-driven discussions, embodies the spirit of collaboration as well as innovation for our nation's progress. I want to highlight that it is a testament to collective determination. It was highlighted by the organizers that this would not have been possible without collective effort from the sponsors, as well as all the associations gathered here today. And so therefore, it is important to highlight that without this collaboration, it would not have been possible to improve access to quality healthcare for every single person in Namibia. Now, this year's theme, Equity in Health, to ensure access to primary healthcare for all. It's a very bold vision, but I like bold visions because it represents where we all want to get to. It resonates deeply with the fundamental principles of the independent nation, which is Namibia. It is not merely a slogan, because I think a lot of the times we get used to hearing these slogans, and sometimes deep down we wonder whether it's truly achievable. But it is a commitment. It is a commitment, not just by the organizers, but it is also a commitment from the Ministry of Health and Social Services, as well as the government of the Republic of Namibia. It is a guiding star that tells us what we are working towards. Now, in a lot of aspects and elements, it might not necessarily be where we are, but it is a reminder of what we are collectively working towards. Health is not a privilege. It is a constitutional human right. I was speaking at an event, and I said that healthcare is not a basic human right, but quality healthcare is a basic human right. Truth that we must hold dear. It is enshrined in the Constitution, yes, but it is important for us now to make that a reality. And when we have conversations like this, we start that process of making it a reality. Every Namibian, regardless of where they come from, social status, deserves access to equal, quality, affordable, compassionate healthcare services. Now, this is the bedrock of a just and equitable society, and it is a non-negotiable principle for my administration. Our journey towards universal health coverage is one we speak of with pride, and I want to highlight this because a lot of the times when we speak of the journey ahead, we fail to highlight the progress that has been made, and in doing so, it is very easy to become demoralized. But with that said, our journey towards universal health coverage speaks for itself. Recent estimates of 2024-2025 places Namibia between 65% to 70% on the World Health Organization Universal Health Coverage Index, positioning us amongst the top six performing nations in the entire African region. Now, this significant achievement is not accidental. It is the fruit of deliberate policy as well as sustained investment. And while we celebrate these achievements, we also take note of the fact that there is a lot to be done. And it is evident that we have the support of not only the head of state, but the entire government in ensuring that we reach our goals. Director of Ceremonies, in February 2025, our cabinet approved Universal Health Coverage Policy, which was launched last month in October 2025. Now, this was a landmark moment for the nation. building on that very momentum, the Ministry of Health and Social Services is currently diligently drafting the Universal Health Bill, which will soon be tabled in Parliament. What does this health bill mean for every ordinary Namibian citizen? It means that ultimately we are moving from theory to practice. It means that a robust legislative framework in order to ensure access to essential health services without financial hardship for every single Namibian and everyone within the borders of this country. It means protection for the most vulnerable, a promise that no one will be left behind. The organizers mentioned some key areas. One of those was maternal health, sexual and reproductive health, amongst others, that ought to be prioritized in order to ensure equitable health for all people, irrespective of socioeconomic status. Our commitment is further reflected in the national budget. As we are all aware, the Abuja Declaration requires African Union member states to allocate at least 15% of their budgets towards healthcare. We proudly exceeded this target between 2016 to 2023. However, we do realize that in recent years we've been hovering around 14%. The 2025-2026 budget allocation to the Ministry of Health and Social Services is 12,268,372,000, which is the second largest allocation in our national budget, just after education. And unequivocally, it does signal our unwavering intent to prioritize the health as well as the well-being of the Namibian people. This substantial is, please put your hands together. The substantial investment is not merely a number. It translates into tangible improvements for our people. It means more medicines in our clinics, better equipped hospitals, expanded outreach programs, and sustained training for our healthcare professionals. It means that we are on a clear path to not only meet, but to surpass the 15% target once again, solidifying our pledge to a healthier nation. Ladies and gentlemen, in the year 2023, Cabinet endorsed a comprehensive 16.1 billion Namibian dollar plan to strengthen Namibia's public health system. Now, this ambitious multi-year investment is designed to profoundly reinforce health infrastructure, building, renovating facilities where they are most needed, bolstering the health workforce, as we all know it is much needed, ensuring that we have enough nurses, enough doctors, enough specialists, ensuring the availability of essential medical equipment, pharmaceuticals, so our health facilities are never caught wanting. And in order to facilitate the acquisition of ambulances across Namibia, ensuring timely emergency response, no matter where our people reside. Now, this plan is the cornerstone of universal health coverage, bringing quality healthcare closer to every single household. It is important to note that, as we mentioned, this multi-year financial plan, that we highlight once again that there is a lot of work to be done in these particular aspects and elements that I've mentioned, whether it be in HR, pharmaceuticals, medical equipment, hospital infrastructure. We recognize that there is a lot of work to be done. But it is people like the organizers that are gathered here today and the sponsors that we move closer to achieving that, and it moves away from just being a dream to being something that we can achieve. The theme for this year's health exhibition, Equity in Health, aligns very strongly with the global agenda. It supports SDG 3, which is good health and well-being, which seeks to ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all ages. It is important to highlight SDG 1, interlinked, no poverty, SDG 5, also interlinked, gender equality, SDG 10, also interlinked, reduced inequalities. Namibia's dedication to these global scores underscores our active participation advancing the United Nations 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, as well as the United Nations Pact for the Future, which, by the way, Namibia proudly co-facilitated. This commitment is further solidified, as well as operationalized, through our 6th National Development Plan, NDP 6, launched earlier this year, which serves as a blueprint for achieving comprehensive socio-economic development, improving the quality of life and healthcare for every single Namibian. Together, these efforts are a clear testament to the unwavering commitment to both national progress as well as global well-being. Achieving these ambitious development goals is undeniably a collective responsibility. And I'm glad that we have our partners here today, sponsors and the likes. It speaks to the fact that we recognize now that when we stand with government, we can achieve so much more. The government acknowledges and highly values the vital role of public-private partnerships in realizing universal health coverage. Through strengthened collaboration, the Ministry of Health and Social Services, the private sector, development partners, civil society organizations, and our social innovators, Namibia can expand access to healthcare, ensure better efficiency, as well as foster innovation in healthcare delivery. It is important that we continue to build these bridges of cooperation and that it doesn't only end here, that we continue conversations where we discuss how we can do better, how we can improve, and how we can hold hands to get to where we want to get to as a nation.
And that's the Minister of Health and Social Services, Esperance Lewindao, speaking at today's opening of the Namibia Health Exhibition. Now, this year marks the very third year that the Namibia Health Exhibition is taking place. And of course, this year also brings together, and one of the founders actually said that this year is the first year with investors, bringing on the forefront investors. Now, let's talk about just why a health exhibition is quite important. Of course, we hear other exhibitions, but I hardly ever hear of a health exhibition. Now, one of them is that it helps to promote universal health coverage, as the event supports Namibia's commitment to attaining universal health coverage, that is UHC, ensuring access to quality essential healthcare services and safe, effective, and affordable medicines. Almost all the speakers that spoke at the event today spoke about quality health service, being able to access healthcare. And one particular speaker spoke about a scenario where she was involved in a car accident somewhere earlier this year. And it is then that it dawned on her that regardless of who you are, regardless of whether you have a medical aid or not, when you are involved in an accident, you are taken to the most immediate closest health care center so that you can get you can be attended to and get the essential health that you need. So it is when she realized that they were actually donating some oxygen equipment, three of those, as they were donating that towards the Namibia Health Exhibition. And she made this remark where she realized that we need to make sure that our public health facilities are on par, that they are doing, that they have the necessary equipment so that when in an event where you are found in such a situation, you can easily get the treatment that you need. Hence why it's very important that private, you know, it was this year, not so long ago, not so many months ago, when Namibia held its private public partnership forum. And this is intended not just for businesses, not just for trade and economy, but we cannot talk about the betterment of our economy without talking about their health. And when we're talking about their health, we're talking about health-related issues. We're talking about clinics and hospitals, private hospitals and public hospitals, to be able to cater to the people so that we can have an economy full of people who are contributing to that economy, but who are healthy as well. Now, remember the definition of health by the World Health Organization says that it's not merely an absence of disease, but rather incorporate the whole being of a person spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. So being healthy does not just incorporate an absence of disease that you are not sick, but every aspect of that person. So this is a conversation that really are of utmost importance. And I believe that the Namibia health exhibition is serving that platform for doctors, nurses, scientists, medical laboratories or labs. I'm failing to actually call them. You know, those that work in the lab. You know, bringing together pharmacists, bringing together radiographers, bringing together paramedics, bringing together all people and those at the forefront of policy making. They may not necessarily be healthcare providers themselves, but they play their part in touch. So it brings together all those in order for them to collaborate and partner up, therefore enabling collaboration between the public and the private sector to identify innovative solutions to healthcare challenges and fostering partnerships and networking opportunities. And the aim and emphasis is to identify innovative solutions to healthcare challenges in a digital world where things are really evolving. These are times where we need to talk about augmented AI. We need to talk about telemedicine. We need to talk about, you know, a system whereby a patient's history is on the computer, is on the system. Have you ever imagined waking up and going to Katutura Health Care Hospital, Katutura Intermediate Hospital, or perhaps going to Okulianava Clinic and the nurse or the admin in front asks you your name, and then when the doctor or the nurse has to look up your profile, can see your history, can see that a month ago you were treated for hypertension, and then a month prior to that you were treated for a fracture that is now maybe healed, you know, that type of thing. So you look at such person's history where we don't have to walk around with paper health passports anymore, whereby we can be able to diagnose a patient and treat a patient all the way in Oshakati, whereby the doctor can be able, a specialized doctor can be able to look into a case of a particular patient, not necessarily because they are there physically, but because of the history and perhaps the pictures that accompany that, while the patient is all the way in Rundu State Hospital and the specialist is right here in Windhoek. Imagine how much amounts of money we can actually save in that aspect. And those things come about when events such as this are organized, when people can come together, the right people with the right knowledge can come together and speak about that which is a challenge and then bring up a solution. That is the people who can make those decisions for us. And it also helps improve healthcare outcomes. That is by highlighting the importance of healthcare and showcasing cutting edge solutions. Now, the exhibition contributes to improving healthcare outcomes and reducing mortality rates in Namibia. And one particular health aspect that I think has become of major concern lately is the mental well-being of any person, regardless of who they are, of what ethnicity or what background they are from. Imagine coming together to talk about ways where they can help mitigate certain situations where we don't have to lose a number of people to suicide because of mental health challenges, you know, things like that. So really, it's an important event. And speaking also on universal health coverage, the Minister of Health and Social Services, Esperanza Lubindao, spoke about how they are soon to table a motion in Parliament on universal health coverage, perhaps to include one that is more tailored for Namibia and including some of those things that need to be really put in place. So the exhibition is providing a platform for medical practitioners, healthcare workers, and innovators to share modern medical innovations by improving healthcare and preventing diseases. It's something that is crucial for you and I. It is something of quite importance so that we may understand healthcare systems better, so that we may understand we really understand the challenges that come alongside with having to deal with health, you know, such as, you know, the long queues that we face. You never know, perhaps it's right there where industry players together with healthcare practitioners can put on the table how they can mitigate certain situations and elevate maybe perhaps some doctors and nurses from the pressure that comes with having to cater to a mass range of public people in the public healthcare system. Now, of course, we pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. You are tuned into On the Radar News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. I'll see you after the commercial break. Now, should you be interested as a healthcare provider in attending this event, it is taking place obviously at Mercure Hotel, and CDP points are going to be accredited for healthcare providers. Let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. We have more coming your way. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni ngondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushenjife nawa nukumona oijabu ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onura itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, yesterday, the Bank of Namibia held the annual symposium for 2025 under the theme Unleashing the Power of the Creative Industries, an event that brought together content creators and musicians to discuss on certain potentials and, of course, on the way to help leverage this industry and how it can help contribute to Namibia's economy. Now, speaking at the event is the Governor, Johannes Kavakaba, Governor of the Bank of Namibia. Let's take a listen.
As we gather here today, let us recognize that Namibia's greatest wealth lies not in its mines, oil, gas, or sea, but in its people, specifically in the vibrant and dynamic realm of our creatives. We meet at a time when Namibia's labor market continues to face considerable strain. Employment growth has been sluggish, and consumer spending, particularly household credit, remains subdued. Recognizing that the economy requires continued policy support, the Bank of Namibia reduced the repo rate by 25 basis points at its last meeting to aid economic recovery. Inflation remains well contained, and the medium-term outlook is broadly favorable, even as the global economy shows signs of resilience. Yet, income inequality persists, and affordability pressures are deepening as too many Namibians remain without work. Inequality is really becoming a big issue in this world. I looked yesterday at the global output, and global output is projected at around 2.8. Not global, on the African continent. Before I get to the global, let me start with the African output. Output on the African continent, the 54 countries in Africa, the economic growth and gross domestic product is around $2.8 trillion. You know, then you have got one company in the U.S. called Nvidia, whose market value is $5 trillion. The second one is Microsoft, is $4 trillion. Amazon is at $4 trillion. It's serious inequality that we have got in the world. Global output is projected in 2025 at about just above $13 trillion. And those three companies alone account for more than 10% of that output. So inequality is not only a Namibian problem. Yes, it's pronounced here, but it's a bigger challenge. Let one thinks about, you know, what Thomas Piketty said around inequality, but that's a conversation from another day. Secondly, we meet at the time when the Bank of Namibia is deliberately amplifying the government's efforts to lead the country towards shared prosperity. In this regard, it is worth noting that agriculture has been identified as both a priority sector and a strategic economic enabler, a focus that guided the bank's 2024 annual symposium, whose recommendations have since been submitted to government for consideration. More recently, through our participation in the Namibia Public-Private Forum, we contributed to the national dialogue of translating vision into tangible action to generate decent jobs for Namibians. In our interventions, we underscored the importance of safeguarding macroeconomic stability as a foundation for sustainable growth, while highlighting the need to invest in public and digital infrastructure, address the informal housing challenge to restore dignity, and mobilize innovative financing to advance national development and support emerging sectors. In that same spirit, we convene today for the Bank of Namibia's 26th annual symposium held under the theme, Unleashing the Power of the Creative Industry, to confront the central question, how can Namibia harness the creative sector as a driver of economic transformation? This question challenges us to shift our perspective, to see creativity not merely as a culture or entertainment, but as an economic enabler, frontier capable of unlocking innovation, deepening diversification, and most importantly, creating jobs and restoring dignity. The Namibian creative landscape is active and diverse. It includes musicians, designers, painters, filmmakers, writers, digital creators, visual artists, craftspeople, and cultural entrepreneurs in every region. These individuals and enterprises shape how we see ourselves and how the world sees us. They tell our national story. They are our storytellers. They are instrumental in promoting inclusion, generating employment, and driving innovation. They demonstrate that culture is not just soft power. Culture is economic power. Currently, Namibia's creative sector contributes 1.5% to gross domestic product, but our aspiration as spelled out by the President in the National Development Plan, is to take that contribution to 3% over the next 5 years. The importance of nurturing our creative ecosystem cannot be overstated. It lies at the intersection of economic growth and job creation. Imagine a Namibia where every young person is educated, empowered, employed, and engaged in meaningful work. That is the vision we all share. A future filled with opportunity, a future filled with potential. However, we must confront the challenges that have hindered our progress. Our creatives are not lacking in talent. They are stifled by the absence of financing, faced with disorganization within the sector, and limited by dearth of opportunities. To catalyze growth and innovation, we must leverage technology to scale our reach to a global audience. Through social media and other tools, creatives can monetize their talents, skills, and knowledge, whether through brand deals, digital products, subscription services, or even merchandise. As we know, innovation compounds. It promotes the development of new ideas and solutions, while technology enables us to share them with the world. I'm heartened by the commitment of the Namibian government to prioritize creative industries as a crucial driver of economic growth and job creation. This recognition is a testament to the valuable role that creativity plays in our society. At the recently concluded Namibia Public-Private Forum, Her Excellency the President of the Republic outlined a national vision of creating 500,000 jobs over the next 5 years. That is a remarkable and ambitious vision necessary for a youthful country whose greatest hunger is not only for opportunity, but for platforms to contribute meaningfully to the nation's future. Among the administration's 7 national priority areas, sports and the creative industries have been singled out as strategic pillars of Namibia's development trajectory. This is not symbolic, it's deliberate, it's intentional. It reflects the conviction that sports, arts, culture, design, music, film, and creative entrepreneurship are not frivolous pursuits, but building blocks for a Namibia that stands on its own feet. I want to assure you today that the Bank of Namibia has heard this call, and we have committed to work in alignment. We understand that in order to unlock jobs, we cannot only rely on the old engines of growth. We must invest in new sectors, new skills, and new ways of working. We need new engines of growth. So what's the role of the Bank of Namibia in this phase? I need to emphasize, as a central bank, our core mandate is to maintain macroeconomic stability and strengthen confidence in the financial system. That's our core. But we also have got a development role in Section 73 of our Act. We need to ensure that we support the creative entrepreneurship. The Bank of Namibia is advancing a series of initiatives designed to strengthen innovation, inclusion, and opportunity across the economy. And I want to list a few of those. What are the things we are doing to help? If you look at our vision is really to help create a prosperous Namibia. That is what we are trying to do. Yes, our mandate is macroeconomic stability. That's a means to the end of having a prosperous country. If we have got macroeconomic stability, we've got a good platform on which we can build. So let's see what are the type of things we are doing to create a country that's prosperous. The first one is our fast payment system called the Instant Payment Platform, or IPP, set to go live in 2026. This system will provide real-time, low-cost, and interoperable digital payments nationwide, empowering creatives, freelancers, and small enterprises through faster, more affordable transactions and improved access to finance. Complementing this is the Bank of Namibia's recently launched FinTech Youth Program, which equips young Namibians with the technical and entrepreneurial skills required to thrive in the digital economy through mentorship, incubation, financing, and regulatory support. Through the Namibia Regulators Forum, established by the bank in partnership with key institutions, we are fostering a regulatory culture that is proportionate, innovation-friendly, and responsive to the evolving needs of sectors such as the creative economy. Equally, our STEAM, S-T-E-A-M, bootcamp continues to build a future-ready workforce by training over 720 learners across 14 regions in Namibia in robotics, automation, coding and 3D printing, empowering young people, especially in rural communities, to participate meaningfully in emerging industries. Above all, collaboration remains central to our approach. We will continue working alongside government, financial institutions, academia, and creative communities to cultivate an environment where ideas are nurtured, enterprise flourishes, and Namibia's creative potential becomes a catalyst for inclusive and sustainable growth. So, as I conclude, what's my call to action? I wish to leave us with a collective call to action, one that transforms today's dialogue into tomorrow's outcome. So the first is, let the symposium mark the beginning of a concerted effort developing a national policy framework for the creative industries. The discussions and insights shared here today must translate into concrete recommendations that inform a coherent policy architecture, one that recognizes the sector's economic importance and sets the foundation for its sustainable growth. Second, we need better organization and coordination, both at government and across the creative community itself. Let us move towards an overarching coordinating body, a single representative voice for the creative sector. Yes, every little creative has got its own industry committee or governance structure, and that's not representative of the entire creative community in the country. I urge the creators in Namibia to embrace collaboration, form alliances, and establish a unified platform. Perhaps by lack of word, I was thinking, what should I call this thing? And I said, why don't we do something called Creatives Namibia Movement that brings together all the creative disciplines and strengthens the sector's collective influence? Then you have got a voice that can talk to government on policy, negotiate for you on all the key issues. This is a priority sector, so it's not something small. In business and at the bank, if you have got a strategic initiative, you need to avail resources. You need to organize yourself. You need to plan how you execute on that one. So it's not something that's an afterthought. So we need to be serious if it is a strategic imperative for the country. At the national level, it's being raised. It's in NDB 6. So let us organize ourselves into something called Creators Namibia, or whatever you want to call it. Third and finally, we must confront the issue of financing head on. I call upon government, because it's a strategic priority, so government needs to avail resources. Then we walk the talk. I call upon government, corporates, and pension funds to consider establishing a dedicated fund for creatives, one that provides consistent, structured access to finance for this vital sector. We can no longer afford to cite lack of funding as a permanent constraint for this community. Let us take proactive steps to convert that challenge into opportunity, ensuring that talent is not stifled by circumstance. If we match the energy of our creators with institutional resolve, their imagination with enabling policy, and their ambition with investment, then the sector will become a meaningful contributor to job creation, diversification, and national prosperity. The future is open. The opportunity is here. Let us step into it boldly together. I thank you for your attention.
Indeed, Namibia is moving towards diversifying its economy in order to boost revenue. And when we do see initiative, such as this being organized or being put at the forefront or being discussed, we need to applaud and give credit where it is due. Now, of course, let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back shortly with news beyond the borders of Namibia. Stay tuned.
Goeie nuus, Kimba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Kimba te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Kimba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Kimba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshiwana.
And for now we call up our winner for this Friday. A very good afternoon, hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, this is Happy calling you from Eagle FM. You are live on radio now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, who am I speaking to?
Yes, speaking to Fina Shilolo.
Fina?
Yes.
Fina Shilolo, I am calling to inform you that you are this Friday's lucky winner of the ShopRite. You save $500 gift voucher.
Oh, God, I'm so excited. I cannot believe it.
You know what? I think I need to tell the team that we need to assess the excitement on air. Those that are more excited need to get something extra.
I'm so excited.
Nationala, congratulations. Where are you? Where are you in, the, in this Namibia? Which part of Namibia are you?
I'm in Windhoek.
You are in Windhoek?
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay. My team will call you up to let you know how you can pick up your gift voucher.
Thank you.
What message do you have for the people that wish to win as well?
Well, I just want to tell them that they must keep entering. They must never give up because I've been doing it as well. And today I'm going to be the lucky winner.
Exactly.
I'm thankful.
Fina, congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Okay. And there you had it. We have our lucky winner for today is a 500 ShopRite You Saved gift voucher. Now remember, you can also be a lucky winner. All you have to do is pay attention and listen to On The Reading News Analysis, not only on Fridays to find out if you are the lucky winner, but Mondays to Friday. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1300 hours to 1430. Let's now pause here, take a trip to the marketplace. When we return, News Beyond the Borders is coming your way.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And Basically, any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And now for news beyond the borders, we always start off regionally, move over to continental news. Thereafter, you can expect some international news. Now, we're starting off in South Africa on a CEO city cleanup, where President Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa was addressing the media on gender-based violence and the Palestine matter.
Members of the media, as well as residents, as well as volunteers who've, rolled up their sleeves, helping to highlight the importance of keeping cities clean, safe and vibrant out there in Cliptown. And we understand that after wrapping up at the Walter Sisulu Square, the president is expected to make his way to the Nasrec Expo Center. And this is where he'll be doing a walkabout there. This is ahead of that all-important G20 summit. We'll be following that story for you in the meantime, right here on the agenda. President Cyril Ramaphosa there engaging stakeholders after that cleanup campaign in Cliptown. Hopefully third time lucky. Let's listen in.
Country have good reason to want to protest. We are engaging with them and we are dealing with the issues that they are raising. I have spoken a great deal of times against gender-based violence and calling on men of South Africa to treat the women of our country and the girls of our country with respect and with dignity as well. That rather than abuse women, we must be protecting the women of our country. So I have the full support for the anger and the disapproval that they are demonstrating.
Mr. President, I'm here as well. Thanks. In regard to the flight that is carrying the people from Pakistan,
yeah,
you did mention that it appears as if they have been flushed out.
Yeah.
I just want to understand whether it is your understanding that it is the government of Israel that has brought them here. But given the fact that we may not know whether they will bring more people, are we in a position, do we have a program perhaps to deal with the possibility of that influx if they were to bring more? Lastly, you're also president of the ANC. Today, the matter is before the Supreme Court of Appeal, where you as the party are challenging the fact that the MK party is using your symbols and all that. Some people are saying you possibly are just oxygenating the MK party. Is it worth it?
Well, the issue of the Palestinians who have been brought here is a matter, as I said, that we're paying attention to. We obviously need to look at the origins, where it started, the reason why they've been brought here. And ordinarily, we would have said they should go back because they didn't have any documentation. But out of empathy, out of compassion, and because they are a people that we as South Africa have raised our hands to support, we felt that we should accept them and process their matter. So their matter is being processed. We are discussing it. Our intelligence agency is involved, and Home Affairs is involved, and DERCO is also involved. So we're going to do a proper evaluation and see what the future portends when it comes to this. So we will be dealing with it, and as I said, we will make an announcement so that the people of South Africa know precisely what is happening and how this matter came to be where it is. with regard to the ANC is the normal course. The laws allow any party, any entity, to engage in legal action to protect its own copyright, its own identity, and we're not giving oxygen to anybody. If anything, the ANC is protecting its own name, its own standing, and its own identity.
Last question, Chuboy.
Mr. President, if the Americans are not here, who are you going to hand over the G20 presidency to?
Well, the normal practice in the G20 is that the country that is next in line to be president of the G20 will be there so that the current president hands over to them. Now, I have said in the past, I don't want to hand over to an empty chair, but the empty chair will be there, probably symbolically. Hand over to that empty chair and then talk to President Trump and say, even though you are not here, I am now handing over to you the reins of chairing or being president of the G20. Because the G20 as an entity continues, whether they are here or not. So they now have the task to take over and run it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much, President.
Why you continue engaging a country, Mr. President, that is seemingly saying you are an insignificant country and we are not going to engage with you? Why the banter to continue engaging with an administration that sees South Africa for nothing?
Well, yes, there could well be a view that we should not engage with the United States. But the United States is an important market. And in fact, we want to engage more with their businesses. It's less about other things, but with their businesses, because governments facilitate the engagement at trade level, at economic level. So we want to continue trading with the businesses of the United States, with the people of the United States, because we export products to that country that in the end don't end up in the White House. They end up in the hands of consumers in the United States. So that is our great interest. The other issues are political, and as normal, we will continue dealing with the political issues. And sometimes you have to talk to people who may not be very friendly to you to advance the interests of your own people. So we will be doing so, and sometimes you've got to do what people may think is unpalatable. But I'm prepared to do it to advance the interests of South Africans.
Meanwhile, Angola and Botswana are in a race to acquire De Beers.
The possible sale of De Beers could reshape Africa's diamond industry and signal a new chapter for two of its biggest producers, Botswana and Angola. De Beers has led the natural diamond industry for more than 130 years, but falling prices and competition from synthetics have prompted UK-based parent company Anglo American to consider selling its $5 billion brand.
I think it's actually very interesting that Angola and Botswana both are bidding to acquire Anglo's stake in De Beers. Obviously, Botswana already has a stake in De Beers of 15%. And it had initially vied for Anglo's stake. But I think, you know, with Angola also vying for that stake, it presents an interesting shift in Southern Africa's diamond industry.
Botswana has produced some of the world's largest and rarest diamonds and is backed by Oman's Sovereign Wealth Fund.
I would suggest raising the government Botswana shareholding from 15% to 26%. And the reason for that is, I mean, besides it being less costly than buying the whole company, under relevant company law, 26% gives the shareholder a blocking minority in the sense that it's not in majority control, but if you've got 26%, the other shareholders are restricted in what they can do.
Angola's state diamond company, Indiama, has also been linked to a possible bid as it looks to strengthen its position in the natural diamond market. Mining ministers from Botswana and Angola recently met to discuss diamond cooperation, but have not disclosed details of their talks. Former De Beers executives Gareth Penny and Bruce Cleaver are also said to be among the interested parties, though De Beers itself.
Oma wa o tomono okujako NHP. Genge wa longifa elongifo lilipedu lo wa wo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku nefiku. Mefiloshi shelo haku oe. Owa woshimali wa oshosha kupako. Washika wedgelwa komto alando mako. Kashi, koma punglo ena shano unjolo welewe. Otodulu okulongifa oma wa oe. Wa hupuko, opo unamiti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi. Okufuti lapo oimali wa ishona. Oyo hodulu okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene, omayakulo olu hapu, haka laina kwa telwa, mowa we kwa folo elu unamiti. Ile, oto julu no kuli, okupitifapo e mwedidonumba, toka laino futa eakulo lo elu unamiti. Kuyalele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngono malandola fana ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
The European Union has mobilized 2 billion euros for Lobito Corridor.
Nearly a century ago, the Lobito Railway once served as a vital link between Africa and the Atlantic Ocean, but decades of underinvestment left it underutilized. Now the story is changing following transformative partnership to revitalize the Lobito Corridor. And during the EU-Zambia Lobito Corridor Business Forum, the EU, through the EU's Global Gateway Initiative, has announced how much it has mobilized to support Africa's ambition for regional integration and sustainable growth.
Our efforts on Lobito Corridor, our focus at this forum, the European Union and its members have mobilized 2 billion euros to expand the existing corridor. Our end goal, as all of you know, is to help connect Angola, the DRC, and Zambia to the Atlantic Ocean. But the EU views the Lobito Corridor as much more than an infrastructure project. We see it as a corridor of opportunities, and we want to build these opportunities together with you.
And President Hakainde Hichilema, who officiated at the forum, is pleased with this news, but has called for increased investments between the EU, Zambia, and Africa.
The EU must do more with Zambia. The EU must do more with Africa. And I mean that. Africa and the EU have one of the longest interactions in human history. And I think along the way, we both dropped the ball. And we focused on political relationships, concerning ourselves more on issues of immigration, which are very important. But I think the underlying value was not attended, in my view. Deepening our business, investment, trade cooperation. Africa's raw materials into Europe. Africa's labor into Europe. I think now is to engage in real business partnerships. Investing together, given Africa's huge resource endowments, Zambia in particular.
President Hichilema also used the opportunity to call for fair pricing of capital and advanced technology to be used as Zambia and the EU rediscover and deepen the partnership.
And we want to thank our European Investment Bank colleagues, first the EU itself, for mobilizing resources, capital, to be invested for investment in our country, on the continent, at a fair price. We must continue driving capital brought on to Zambia, to Africa, at a fair price. So we clip from that angle alone, I know there are many other factors, the cost of doing business in Zambia on the continent. I was talking about a combination of assets that we need to bring to the table. The next is technology. Zambia needs the best technology. Africa needs the best technology, not a second-rate technology. No, the best technology for mutual benefit, because the best technology will help us to deliver our objectives in the projects, in the businesses, efficiently.
And the European Investment Bank has already invested over 1 billion euros in key sectors, pledging continued investment in Zambia.
Together with the World Bank, we have developed the Global Emerging Markets Risk Database, which shows that investing in emerging economies like Zambia is less risky than often perceived. This data encourages us, a big applause to Zambia and its economy. This data encourages us and should encourage you to invest more boldly in Africa.
During the forum that brought over 700 participants, President Hichilema also witnessed the signing of 10 new funding agreements worth 200 million euros in advancing the development of the Lobito Corridor between the EU and Zambia. Ruth Chainda, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
Meanwhile, reforms put Zimbabwe at the forefront of carbon mitigation.
Three, Zimbabwe halted all carbon projects amid concerns about community exploitation and demanded that half of all revenue from such projects benefit the nation, paving the way for the passing of carbon credit trading regulations in May 2025. The new laws have brought oversight and accountability to what was once an unregulated sector.
We had to build trust on both sides. Government had to understand that the players in the space are not all cowboys, you know, and there's actually some responsible business people involved. And the investors had to understand that the Zim government is not trying to expropriate your rights. They are just doing what is sort of responsible to manage the space properly.
The result, what has been termed by many as one of the most progressive regulatory frameworks in the world, placing Zimbabwe at the forefront of carbon mitigation.
We are now the first country on earth to have issued a corresponding adjustment to a project and had it approved by an international carbon standard. The investment is starting to come in, but carbon is a complicated business. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of regulatory process. So I think there'll be a lead time, or maybe a couple of years, before we really see the impact of this this framework.
Key focus areas for carbon projects in Zimbabwe include clean cookstove distribution, regenerative agriculture, and reforestation. Another first was scored soon after passing the regulations.
In May, Zimbabwe launched the world's first blockchain-based carbon registry, a digital ledger that tracks projects transparently and manages risks of fraud and double counting.
The platform also allows verification of the actual environmental impact of carbon projects.
To prove that is the project really reducing emissions, that has been the key issue. If there's an investor who is concerned, or the buyer of the carbon credit is concerned whether the credit is the environmental impact it is intended to, they can easily trace from start to finish.
Under the new regulations, a share of revenue from every carbon project must now go towards development initiatives in host communities, most of which are rural and marginalized. Farai Makutuya, CGTN, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Nigeria pushes for electric motorcycles faces major hurdles.
Lagos shop bike seller Ebenezer Ibe stocks both petrol and electric motorcycles. He says demand for EV bikes is growing, but many customers still choose petrol. Their choice, he says, is guided by fears of battery failure and limited service points for the EV motorcycles.
like somebody that buys from us now, not up to 3 months, they started complaining about battery. So we have to get the battery. That is the problem. They say that the battery is very expensive.
Despite these concerns, electric motorcycles are slowly making inroads in Nigeria. A new report by the country's Energy Transition Office and non-profit RMI projects that more than 60% of two-wheelers sold in Nigeria could be electric by 2040. That could help the country avoid up to 2 million tons of carbon emissions and boost local manufacturing.
If the company can work on the battery capacity, I think they are good to go. If they can make the battery to last for rider, for a road, no matter how far the rider go.
Experts say the government must take steps to make that future possible, from tax exemptions and import duty waivers to plans for purchase subsidies. They propose rewarding EV users through incentives like free parking and reduced registration fees. But one major hurdle remains access to charging infrastructure. In a country where electricity is still unreliable, improving the grid and encouraging private investments in charging stations will be key to sustaining the shift to electric mobility.
We actually need to increase that awareness and interest of Nigerians to start using EV, and for the government to set up, to build EV infrastructures that will encourage the utilization of EV. That is a good policy that the government can adopt for economic growth and for Nigeria to meet up to the numerous climate commitments, the NDC 3.30, the decarbonization effort, and low carbon emission. Those are some of the conditions that will actually encourage the utilization of EV and increase in the economic benefit from mobile transportation.
The government should first of all think about that, to encourage the innovators in this field. What they need to do is to create, like the EU used to do, carbon credits. You know, they will be rewarded in such areas. Apart from that, the government is supposed to create a technology hub. You will see what Nigeria will do with this kind of arrangement. When we create innovation hubs, you will see changes.
The push for electric motorcycles could redefine mobility in Nigeria, cutting emissions, creating jobs, and reducing fuel dependency. But without stable power and affordable batteries, this transition may remain a distant goal. For now, both electric and petrol bikes will continue to share Nigeria's busy roads. Kelechi Amekalam, CGTN Abuja, Nigeria.
Africa risks profile exaggeration, says Musoko Twani.
We must continue driving capital brought on to Zambia to Africa at a fair price.
The high cost of capital for Africa has remained a source of concern, and President Haga Indehijilema has been advocating for global financial reforms. This has formed part of the discussions at the ongoing EU-Zambia Lobito Corridor Business Forum. Minister of Finance Situmbe Komsokotwane has called for responsible borrowing practices to regain credibility with lenders.
We are coming out of a debt crisis. Obviously, as we go back to capital markets, I can imagine that for some time there will be lenders who will be tending to increase the price of the money, the cost of the money, because they are uncertain about whether the country is now a credible partner. That is now our responsibility as African countries, to demonstrate that when we borrow, we must borrow responsibly, and we must not run away from our debts.
Speaking during a panel discussion, Bank of Zambia Governor Denny Kalealia said Zambia's risk profile is perceived higher.
Some of the things which have been contributors to high risk, into high cost of capital, are being addressed. One has been the debt issue and the fiscal position. Government paper which is risk-free in terms of waiting risk, has been very expensive. This has come down considerably and is going down.
And APSA Managing Director, Mzinga Melu, called for blended financing in reducing the cost of borrowing.
Every lending that we have to do now has to go through Parliament for approving in terms of when the government is borrowing. That responsible borrowing is also improving the appetite for us to actually reduce our rates. So it's not just one solution, but it's everything.
Meanwhile, Finnish Undersecretary of State Pasi Hellman noted that the perceived risks of African countries are often inflated compared to real risks.
You can try and bring the perceived risks closer to the real risks by significantly strengthening the exchange of information, investment data, performance of investment operations.
The plenary further discussed the environmental, social, and governance principle, which is often a challenge for investors in emerging markets and developing economies. Sharon Siame, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
And with that, we have now come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengue program brought to you by Matthias Hangara. For me, Dafa, happy Juju. It is goodbye and have yourself a fruitful and a blessed weekend ahead. Bye-bye.